Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
First of May, good evening and welcome to Update here on Manx Radio. A rundown of the day's main news in under half an hour. And we have some breaking news first of all this evening. Hospice Isle of Man says it needs to address financial challenges. So this means there will be redundancies and changes to some of their services. They say they will prioritise their core services, that's their inpatient unit, Hospice at Home and Rebecca House Children's Hospice, but there will be some other changes and we'll hear much more about that in a moment. Also tonight, the Peel Town Commissioner's dispute rumbles on with the local authority reaffirming its position regarding a vote about a beach stage. All that and much more. We'll have the weather, the traffic and the travel. And as ever, if you'd like to get in touch, you can email studio@manxradio.com. We'll start, though, with the roundup of the main news headlines with Amy Fastamai.
Fastamai. And as Beth's just mentioned, some breaking news in this hour. Hospice Isle of Man's confirmed a number of redundancies and service changes amid what it describes as an increasingly unsustainable financial difficulties. The organisation, which provides end-of-life care to hundreds of patients on the island each year, says it's had to make some very difficult decisions to reduce costs. Fiona Hatton is the charity's CEO.
We do have a figure in mind of savings that we probably need to achieve in order to make ourselves more sustainable. But at the moment, we don't have any fixed numbers of the number of employees.
In the past few minutes, we've also spoken to Teresa Cope, CEO of Manx Care, and we'll be hearing from her and more on this story next. In other news this evening, the Board of Peel Town Commissioners maintains a vote on proposals for a beach stage in the town didn't happen, despite multiple accounts to say otherwise. It's been the centre of a row with one of its members, Katrina Baptist, who has raised concerns online about the local authority's governance and transparency. Commissioners in Bride say they've been quoted £111,000 for about 40 people to take bags of twigs to the tip once a week. Their proposed charges for access to the Northern Civic Amenity site under its new operators is either around double or triple what the other authorities who use it have been quoted. The development of frailty services on the Isle of Man is about giving people the best chance of having as good a life as possible, according to a consultant geriatrician at Nobles Hospital. Manx Care recently created the position in a bid to ease pressure on inpatient wards. Dr. Duncan Jerry says given the demographic of the Isle of Man's population, it makes sense.
The Isle of Man is having an increase in the population of people over the age of retirement, which inevitably brings with it people living with more and more degrees of frailty.
Turning to international news now, and the International Olympic Committee is banning male-born athletes from competing in female events. The move applies to transgender women at any female category event at the Olympic Games, including individual and team sports. Donald Trump says the US is not sure it's willing to do a deal with Iran over the war. That's despite the president warning Tehran to get serious about negotiating an end to the conflict. And rescuers are spending a fourth day trying to free a humpback whale stranded in shallow waters in the Baltic Sea in northern Germany. Experts say the 30-foot-long mammal is still making sounds. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Amy. Now, the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. It's going to be cloudy with a few outbreaks of rain this evening. That rain will become heavier and more persistent after midnight. Fresh to strong southwest winds, minimum temperatures overnight around 6. So it'll be wet to start the day tomorrow, but that rain will clear by mid-morning. Some bright or sunny spells then developing, but an increased risk of a few showers in the afternoon or evening. Moderate winds, they'll strengthen later. Top temperatures tomorrow around 10. And just looking ahead to Saturday, blustery showers to start with, heavy at times. They will become more isolated as the day goes on.
If you're looking for supply-only double or triple glazed units, make sure you visit the Manx Glass and Glazing Showroom on the Stugbrough Trading Estate or call 674 573.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's coming up to 5 past 5. Well, in the past few minutes, Hospice Isle of Man has confirmed a number of redundancies and service changes amid what it describes as increasingly unsustainable financial difficulties. The organisation, which provides end-of-life care to hundreds of patients on the island every year, says it's had to make some really difficult decisions to reduce costs. Well, Lewis has been talking to CEO Fiona Hatton, who first explained the financial position.
So I joined hospice in October of last year, and I think coming in and looking through the history of hospice, and from both an impact point of view, obviously for patients and the community, but also looking at the books and the finances, that for 5 of those 6 years, we have not brought in as much money as it's cost. So we have been using our reserves to fill that gap. And for me, reserves are there to, you know, help an organization. They shouldn't be there to sustain the day-to-day operations, and it's just reached a point now where we need to take action.
And you have confirmed that there will be some redundancies. Can I ask, is it known how many at this stage and in which departments?
No. We've very consciously, in a very thought-out way, gone out with voluntary redundancies. We've done that for a couple of reasons. One is to just offer the best that we can to our workforce, who we're, you know, immensely proud of and who are very committed to hospice. So by going in approaching it in a voluntary way, we can't be certain which people may or may not step forward. So over the next few weeks will be a process of us having lots of conversations, lots of open conversations, and supporting staff as they consider their own options. We will wait and see who steps forward, and that will help to shape the picture over the next few weeks. We are not certain about who may opt for it and who may not, so we have to wait and see.
Can you just remind us of the size of the hospice workforce? So how many people have been asked and are currently considering this voluntary redundancy?
So working at hospice, we have approximately 150 people, and as we shared earlier, it costs at the moment about £7.5 million a year to keep the doors of hospice open. We do not have a set figure of the number of roles or the number of people that we need to make redundant. We do have a figure in mind of savings that we probably need to achieve in order to make ourselves more sustainable. But at the moment, we don't have any fixed numbers of the number of employees.
Could you share with us that figure and of how much needs to be saved?
So we need to save approximately £750,000 a year. That is approximately last year, the deficit of hospice was sitting at about £600,000. So for us, that figure, if we can achieve that in savings, then we believe that in the years going forward, because of the generosity of the public, that we can sustain that level needed.
That's the hospice CEO, Fiona Hatton, talking to Lewis a few minutes ago. Well, in the past few moments, we've had a statement from the Department of Health and Social Care and Manx Care. It reads as follows: patients and families across the island can be reassured they will continue to receive the hospice care they rely on. Following today's announcement, the Department of Health and Social Care and Manx Care are working closely with Hospice Isle of Man and across government to ensure that care continues with the compassion and dignity people deserve. DHSC and Manx Care recognise the financial pressures facing hospice and support its focus on core palliative and end-of-life care. As part of this, some services, including physiotherapy, occupational therapy, psychological therapies and lymphedema services, will transition into Manx Care, and planning is already underway to make that transition safe and smooth for patients. It goes on to say that to support hospice during this period, Manx Care is working with hospice to protect and maintain core services, including hospice at home and specialist nursing care. A full review, they say, of commissioning arrangements for palliative and end-of-life care in line with the mandate to Manx Care for 2026-27 will be delivered by September this year. This will establish the level of government funding needed to sustain core services and ensure these vital services are sustainable for the future. DHSC and Manx Care, they say, remain committed to working in partnership with Hospice Isle of Man to ensure stable, high-quality care for the island's community. Well, we can now hear from the Manx Care CEO, Theresa Cope, who's been giving her initial reaction to Simon Richardson.
Yes, we're also aware that the hospice has been under financial pressure, and we've sought with hospice to understand what that impact would be on palliative and end-of-life services. So we've, as part of that commissioning arrangement with hospice, we met with them last week to consider their proposal and understand the impacts of those financial challenges on our commissioned services with hospice. So we are very much aware, though from our perspective, it is a live matter, because we are keen to work with hospice to resolve some of those challenges and support the continuation of end-of-life care.
And can I ask what the implications are, if any, for services at Nobles Hospital from this news today?
Well, I think we're all jointly very keen. So ourselves, DHSC and Manx Care are all very keen to make sure that end-of-life services are maintained. Now, what we know is that there are some services which hospice do deliver, which are what would be described as outside of core end-of-life services. And so they're the ones where we recognise that Manx Care could assist in taking back the responsibility for delivering some of those, which helps with the overall financial pressures. You know, at the moment, hospice proposal is committing to continue with the full inpatient service of 9 beds, but we want to make sure that hospice at home service is maintained as well. So at the moment, we're in talks with the hospice about Manx Care preparing to take back responsibility for some of those services which sit outside of the core end-of-life offer, whilst also in discussion with them about how we maintain the hospice at home and inpatient service.
That is the Manx Care CEO, Teresa Cote, talking to Simon Richardson there. So we have heard tonight that Hospice Isle of Man has confirmed a number of redundancies and service changes will be taking place amid what it describes as increasingly unsustainable financial difficulties. We now know, having heard from the CEO, Fiona Hatton, of Hospice Isle of Man, that they are initially looking for voluntary redundancies and that they need to save that £750,000. £7.5 million is the cost for Hospice Isle of Man every year. You can find much more in this story online and on our social media pages, and there will be more in Breakfast tomorrow. Coming up to 12 minutes past five, and this afternoon, Peel Town Commissioners issued a further statement amidst this ongoing row at the local authority. So this dispute has been unravelling between the board and one of its members, Katrina Baptist, after she raised concerns about governance and transparency in a video online at the weekend. Well, part of the discussion this week has centred on whether a vote did or didn't take place over proposals for a beach stage in the town. Ms Baptist claimed they did vote and approve the plans. The board said they didn't. Well, we've had another statement, as I say, this afternoon, in which the commissioners stand by its original claim, but now say they did not formally vote on those proposals. And it's worth prefacing this by saying this statement was sent to us by the town clerk with approval from the Board of Peel Town Commissioners. Let me just read part of it to you. It says, further to the statement issued on Monday and following a number of subsequently published comments, including those of Tim Crookle, MHK, and local democracy reporter from Manx Radio, the board's position by majority remains that while the board provided an indication of preliminary support for the concept of a temporary summer event stage on Peel Beach as part of and subject to a wider event strategy, the board did not formally vote on a firm proposal to have a temporary event stage on Peel Beach this summer and to commit £10,000 of public funds to this, and as such they say no decision was taken and no resolution recorded in this regard. You can read the full statement, it's fairly lengthy, on the Manx Radio website. Well, the directors of Manor Music say Peel commissioners haven't raised any concerns about the beach stage proposal until yesterday, despite the board being aware of that proposal in January. Business owners Laura and David Rolls add the licence application for the stage is due on the 2nd of April, but they are yet to receive a letter confirming they can act on behalf of the local authority to get the necessary permissions. Local democracy reporter Emma Draper has been talking to Mrs. Rolls.
So we approached Katrina in, I think it was September last year, and said she kind of came to talk to us as a commissioner and said, did we have any things that we wanted to do, or was there any way that Peel commissioners could help us? And we said that we had an idea that we'd had for a few years about trying to make music more accessible and to provide kind of like quality gigs for the general public. And as we're Peel residents and Peel business owners, we obviously want to do that in Peel because we care a lot about the town, and we feel that having live music in an accessible place would bring more people to the town and also benefit all the Peel residents as well. So that's kind of how it all started off.
What communication did you have with the commissioners, whether that's Katrina and Stuart or with the sort of town hall in general, in between sort of the February meeting and now? Because your post says it's been a bit of a shock.
Well, to kind of go over the timeline, so we sent the proposal in to the commissioners on the 5th of January, and then on the 20th of February, Katrina said that it had been approved at the meeting, and Manx Radio, I think that was yourself, was going to be covering it the next day. So it all kind of was announced then. And then we had planning meetings with Katrina and Stuart after that, towards the end of February. And in March, Katrina emailed over what we discussed and kind of the plan of how it was going to work. And the clerk was CC'd in on that email as well. We've had communication with the town hall from various staff members over logistics about the stage, but we had nothing from the clerk until he rang us yesterday and said the commissioners had concerns and they had questions about our proposal. So it was a bit of a shock that they've had this proposal since January, and we've had no communication from the town hall of any concerns or from any commissioners. And obviously the meetings we had with Stuart and Katrina were very positive. So it did come as a bit of a shock.
That is one of the directors of Man and Music there, Laura Rolls, talking to local democracy reporter Emma Draper. You can see more of this story. It's unfolded quite a bit since Monday on the Manx Radio website.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So, first of all, things on the road. Still loads of lights at the bottom of Cueg Hill. Good news, though, those ones on Coole Road have gone now, but there are still some temporary lights on Braddon Road, just up from Brabham Bridge, in between King William's College and the airport. On Maloo Road at Great Meadow, 24 hours a day. In Ramsey on May Hill, that's near Maycroft Terrace. And in Laxey all week, there are temporary lights on New Road at the old Laxey Junction. Just a reminder, Minorca Hill in Laxey will be closed again tomorrow, 9:30 till 3. That's because of masonry falling from the railway bridge there. All okay down at the airport, and the latest from the steam packet, the Manxman due into Douglas around about 6, heading out again for Heysham at 7:15.
Out of fuel, you stop. Out of brakes, you don't. Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Get more with
Quayside. Quayside, 664417.
Head to Quayside Tyres and Service Centre on South Quay Industrial Estate.
Quayside.
You're listening to Update here on Manx Radio. Just had a comment from Hazel Hannan, the former Peel MHK and former Peel Commissioner as well. I'm horrified, she says, by even more squirming by the clerk to Peel Town Commissioners to get out of the hole that has clearly been dug for the members into which they have majority fallen. If there are difficulties, the saying is stop digging. We are going to have some more local authority news now, because there's been an angry response from Bride commissioners to the proposed charges to be levied on the authority for access to the Northern Civic Amenity site for the forthcoming contract period. So this is the latest twist in this ongoing saga. Simon's been looking into it and joins me now in the studio. So tell me, first of all, Simon, why is Bride so upset?
Well, Beth, all Northern authorities have been notified by letter from the DOI about the contributions they'd be expected to make to the running of the facility. Bride commissioners were angry to discover that their expected contribution of £111,020 is around double what Andreas and Lazare have been quoted, and three times more than Jerby, Balaf and Macauld.
So, yeah, it does seem at first glance quite a difference. Do we know why that is?
Well, Beth, a few minutes ago I'd have said no, but within the last hour we've had a statement from the DOI, which I'll read in full. They say the figures issued to each authority are calculated using the long-standing island-wide proportioning system, and that's been in place for many years. This method is applied consistently across all Northern local authorities, and no changes have been made to the way Bride's contribution has been calculated for the forthcoming contract period. The Department of Infrastructure recognises that these matters can be sensitive and that the figures may appear high when viewed in isolation. We remain committed to engaging constructively with Bride commissioners and all Northern authorities to ensure that there is shared understanding, transparency and fairness in how the service is funded. And in fact, Infrastructure Minister Tim Crookall is meeting with the Northern local authorities on Monday to discuss the Northern Civic Amenity site.
So that was the comment from the DOI. The site here, the Northern Civic Amenity site, has a new operator, we heard this week.
It does, Beth. Yeah, Manx Rock Limited, headquartered in Ballasalla, has won the tender to operate the site at Balladool. The DOI says it's satisfied the company offers strong value for money for ratepayers within the Northern authorities.
So I guess, Simon, the big question is, what happens now?
Well, the commissioners are urging ratepayers to let them know their thoughts and contact their MHK. They claim residents of the village will be paying £111,000 for about 40 people to take bags of twigs to the tip once a week. Their argument is that £111,000 is a huge proportion of the total income for Bride Parish, and there would be little left to cover all the other services provided. And, of course, Manx Radio has approached Bride commissioners for comment.
Simon, thank you very much indeed. You are listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just coming up to 20 past five. And we have been talking about elections because we're less than 6 months away now from the House of Keys general election, residents heading to the polls on the 24th of September to choose their representatives for the next administration. And every week we've been sending reporter Chanel Suku out to speak with people in different constituencies about what matters to them most. And since the focus has already been on the west of the island this week, we thought today we'd hear from residents in Glenfeibre and Peel. I should say, though, that this was recorded before the events of this week with the local authority.
The main thing for me would be letting dogs on the beach, especially like the far end. There's a lot of dog owners and people complain about like dog mop being left on the pavements, but they're not allowed on the beach or anywhere to run in the summer.
It just doesn't make any difference. They don't listen to you. You know, you could go and tell people what we should have or what we need in Peel and it just doesn't get done.
What do you think is needed in the area?
Well, somewhere for the kids to go, you know. I mean, they tried to put a bowling alley and things down that end and that didn't happen either. You know, we need somewhere indoor for the kids because the summer's not that long. The weather's obviously, we need indoor play for them. There's just nothing. Prom doesn't look that good. It's a lovely prom. Light it up, put flags up, make it really nice. Make it somewhere where the kids enjoy walking because there's lots of things to see. That's what they need. There's just not enough in Peel for kids.
To be perfectly honest, I think Peel needs better representation and what they've got at the moment. What seems to be happening is nothing, to be perfectly honest. It seems to be that you've got two representatives but you never see them. You don't see much of them at all. You never hear much of them at all until this time of year. Then they all seem to come out of the woodwork and that's about it, to be honest.
Peel was actually starting to look and feel very down at heel, but I think it's improving so much, so quickly, and I take my hats off to the incredible people that are backing this. Starting with Black Dog, I think what Mike and Josie did there was unbelievable. Now with the coffee shop, Trader Laura, and then also Kim and her incredible cafe.
I hope that they actually build on the infrastructure because we do not have the infrastructure to cope with that many properties. We don't have the doctors, we don't have the dentists, we don't have the hospital.
That's what some of the residents in Glenfeibre in Peel had to say about the main issues they think there are going to be before the election. You can find out more on our election mini website. Now, Year 12 students are set to compete in a charity competition this evening. The One World Charity Challenge is an inter-school project which tasks pupils with creating a lively multimedia presentation about the work of a charity that they've chosen to support that's involved in international development. Wendy Shimon, One World Centre Coordinator, has been talking to Darren.
One of the first responses we get mostly from the students is that they didn't realise actually that life was so very different in some parts of the world, and they just don't appreciate what they have here on the island. So that's a major learning for them. But secondly, there's all the skills associated with the competition. So they have to work in small teams, which may be with their friends and maybe not. They have to organise themselves. They have to research. They have to communicate with their people. They have to advocate for their charity. They're tasked with raising awareness of their charity's message. And then finally, there's the presentation as well. So these are all really crucial skills for Year 12 students that will, you know, see them go into the future, whether they go to university or into the job market. They're all kind of critical skills that students need to practice. And I guess in our programme, what we're trying most of all to do is to encourage critical thinking. So not accepting the world has to be the way it is now, that everybody can make a difference, and what is the future that you would like to see, and then perhaps how can you make things happen so that comes along. So that's probably one of the key skills that students get to practice in our programme.
The other side, obviously, is those charities. So what's the, I suppose, feedback from them? What's the engagement from them like with this programme?
Yeah, it's generally very good because they recognise it's an opportunity to engage with the next generation, really, of potential charity workers. And that's another aspect of the competition, I suppose, in that most 16 or 17-year-olds wouldn't really kind of consider charity charities perhaps as a career, but they get exposed to the work that people do and, you know, can see all the different roles in a charity as well. So it's very valuable to the charities from that point of view, as well as just many of the charities aren't based on the Isle of Man, some are, so it's getting their name more recognised.
That is Wendy Shimon from the One World Centre talking to Darren. That's just a brilliant thing. Over 33 teams started in this competition. Each group in the final will win a cash prize for their chosen charity, but just how much depends on where they finish. So best of luck to everybody taking part. The grand final taking place this evening at the Mountain View Innovation Centre in Ramsey. Well, Darren is back now with the sports news brought to you by the Print Shed.
First of all, we'll start in hockey, where the fight to stay in the men's Division 1 will be going to the final day of the season after relegation contenders Castletown B were beaten 2-1 by Ramsey last night. Harlequins B are also in the scrap and will come down to a crunch tie between the two sides on Saturday, which will determine the team that will be playing in Division 2 next year. Castletown could have sent Quins down yesterday evening had they won, as they're only 1 point ahead, but now both teams will have the chance to save their respective seasons. Elsewhere, the other result last night saw Valkyries beat Vikings 2-1 in the Ladies Premier League. It was the outcome the Peel side needed going into Wednesday evening's fixtures, as it means there's still a slim chance of winning the league at the weekend. They face Vikings in the reverse fixture, however the goal difference may prove too big of an ask to overcome. In netball, the semi-finalists for the Cup, Vase, Plate and Shield competitions have been announced. Simcox Red, Simcox Blue, Bala and Bala 2 are in the Cup's final four. Route 1-2, Route 1-3, Simcox Green and Ramsey are in the semis for the Vase. In the Plate sees Misfits, Misfits 2, Route 1-1 and Bala 4. And finally, B2N, B2N 2, Castletown 2 and Investec are in the penultimate round of the Shield. Draws are set to be announced soon. And on to snooker, where Port St Mary Legions have maintained their lead atop the Mancrane Higher League table. They beat Malou by 3-2. Tony Cobbin had the biggest win of the night with a 71-6 victory over Mark Morley, while there were also victories for Phil Jones, Andy Hutchinson, Dave Pickersgill and Alec Coates. The result means PSM maintain their advantage in the table by 2 points, however Q-Zone Blinders aren't falling away after winning big against Snooker Barbarians. Blinders won 4-1. In third place stays the Hurricanes, despite losing a game to the Q-Zone Masters. And in the individual table, Stuart Stanford and Phil Jones lead the way with 16 wins each.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. Well, that is all from Update this evening. Thank you very much indeed for your company. Just a reminder of our top story tonight is that Hospice Isle of Man has confirmed a number of redundancies and service changes amid what it describes as increasingly unstable financial difficulties. The organisation, which provides end-of-life care to hundreds of patients on the island each year, says it's had to make some very difficult decisions to reduce costs. And we have had a statement from the Department of Health and Social Care and Manx Care as well, saying patients and families across the island can be reassured they will continue to receive the hospice care that they rely on. Much more on this on Breakfast tomorrow. You can read it all on our website as well. Coming up next, it's Shaq Lair with Bob Carswell. At 6, Chris Kinley's here with Greatest Hits. At 9, it's A Little Light Music with Maurice Powell. And at 10, Ree is with you with After Hours. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. And Update will be back at 5 tomorrow.
Employers having trouble with staff and need reliable advice.